Happy Sabbath to you, brothers and sisters and friends. It's the first time that the Lord has granted me this opportunity to bring the message to you here at the Aiken Church. Just to give you a little background of who I am, I am a second-generation Adventist. Second generation, my dad, many years ago, used to travel before even I was born as a farm worker to Central America, Panama, Cuba, the United States. And way back then, as a young man who just barely completed the eighth grade, he was introduced to the Advent movement in Cuba, although he was from Jamaica. He came back to be among the first 23 individuals on the island of Jamaica who was Adventists. And from that, he got married to a young lady who was from Cuba. So my dad and my mom spoke fluent Spanish. Unfortunately, I only had an opportunity to meet my grandmother. She was able to get out of Cuba in 1969 after the Castro regime took over. And my granddad had to stay behind because they were fairly wealthy. They had property, bakery, pool room. They had such a large establishment that they would take care of Marcus Garvey and his contingency whenever they came to Cuba. So they literally had more than 200 acres of property with establishments on it. Unfortunately, they lost that once communism took over. So my grandmother was able to get out and to join us in Jamaica. And so I grew up in Jamaica and was actively involved in the church. I can remember that at the age of 11, I was Sabbath school secretary for the adult Sabbath school. And I've been involved in every aspect of church work that you can think of. From AY leader, Pathfinder leader, I'm still a member of the Georgia Master Guide Society. And just prior to 3 years ago, I served 28 years as a local elder at the Augusta First Church in Augusta. So it's always a privilege. What I'm involved in currently is that I am involved with one out of many ministries, which is involved in ministry, both in medical ministry primarily, in Jamaica, Honduras, and Suriname. So normally each year, for the past 8 years, I visit these countries and take some sort of medical ministry to the real needy people. When we go, we do not go into the larger cities, but we go into the inners, the really dense places where people do not have access to medical care. I am praying to the Lord right now. The burden on my heart is for a church in Honduras. This church is built on swamp land, and they have a great need. They have an Adventist school that has about 135 students. However, only 32 of those students can afford to pay the tuition. So it's always a struggle. And the Lord has put it on my heart to help them to see if we can get a local bakery going in that area, because all the baked goods have to be imported in. And we just figured that if we can get a local bakery started there, that we'll be able to help the community and at the same time help the school as a project. That is something that I'm praying that somehow this year the Lord will grant that to us. I've already spoken to a brother who has 20 acres of mangoes. And he has agreed to give us all the fruit that he can afford to allow us to make fruit juice for the school. So that's a second project that we are working on in that area. We have already made arrangements with another Adventist school on the island of Roatan that provides spring water. So they will provide us with the bottles for the juice program. So you have two things that I need for you to pray for this year. The work in Jamaica is going well. I just want to tell you that how I got introduced to this program. I was a global missions pioneer and conducted an evangelistic series. And while I was there, I really saw how the people were struggling, and the Lord put it upon me. And like Isaiah said, send me. And so the following year, I said, what could I do to help in the program? And so since 7 years ago, it has been a burden on my heart to carry the mission this way. I am a father of three and a grandfather of seven. And the Lord has blessed me so far in work. I am a respiratory therapist by profession. But I have been in the management area for the past 35 years. So this year, I plan to retire and to go into full-time ministry. So the Lord has blessed me, and so that is my plan. I pray today that as we bring the Word of God, that the Spirit will direct us in all things, and that we will move according to His will. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Loving Father who art in heaven, dear Father, we come to you at this special time of the Sabbath day, asking for your blessings, asking that you will lead us in the way we ought to go. We know that your Holy Spirit is present. And Lord, now may I decrease, may you increase. Hide me behind the shadow of your cross. And dear Father, may this message be a blessing to someone today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last 2 or 3 years, the Lord has really given me a burden for souls. And I humbly go before him each day. I try to pass out different books in my neighborhood. And I'm not one of those people who sit around and wait for the church to develop the program or what somebody else does before I do something. If the Lord impresses me, I move on that impression. And all of us can do something for the Lord. And so today, the Lord has asked me to bring the message on faith. And so if you'll take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God called it out of nothing. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. How is it with us? Can it be said that we please God? You know, the scripture says that we are all given a measure of faith. And when I think of faith, I think of muscle. Muscle. We are all born with muscle. Something on the bones which enable us to move. But we can not use them. But we can develop them until we look like a... What's that strong man? The universe weightlifter? Arnold Schwarzenegger? We can develop those muscles, spiritual muscles, because we are all given a measure of faith. So this morning, the message is entitled Faith Warriors, or Warriors of Faith. And I'm saying this morning to you that you can be in your own world, because you and God, or God and I, is a majority. Amen? There's no reason why we have to be weak-kneed or think that we can't do it when we have God on our side. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. I pray God this morning that none of us want that impossibility, because we all can have that faith, that spiritual muscle development. For he that cometh to God, that means even a newborn Christian, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I stress the word diligently, because now is not the time when we can afford to not pick up our Bibles daily and seek God. Seek him while he may be found. You know, there's a song in the hymnal, I think it's number 517, if you'll turn there with me. I hope I'm right. 517, I think. Yes, and it says, my faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly or completely thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love for thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. If we have faith, we can have that living fire, that love that we should have for Christ. It will make us do things for him. We have to be like the Bereans. We have to get in the Word. We have to check it out. Once we understand it, we have to make it become real in our lives. I am simply a follower of God. I do not regulate my beliefs based upon what is happening around me or what anybody else thinks. I regulate it based upon, Father, what will you have me to be and what will you have me to do? This morning, I want to bring this faith message home to you because it's real. It's a part of the foundation, because if that muscle is not developed, you're going to become inactive. Very soon, you will not be able to move. And we need to exercise that faith to build on it each day, to make it stronger, make that spiritual muscle bigger and larger. Even in small things, I have learned to trust in the Lord. I mean, if I'm working on the car and I can't pull a nut, I say a prayer. I say, Lord, you help me to unwind this nut. Because God says it is impossible to please Him. And we have to reach a point in the day in which we live when we completely trust in the Lord. Every day that I go to work, the first thing I do when I sit at my desk is to pray a prayer for the 34 individuals that work for me. I feel that that's my responsibility. Some people in the world that we live might call it a challenge, but God is my helper and strength. So before we go out to do any work, I pray with my supervisors. They come to my office and we pray. Because we want to ensure that anything we do for our patients or any action that the staff takes, it is led by God. So, to show you that faith is real, let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. You know why I said that we can't be concerned with what other people say? Because they will bring discouragement and they'll make your faith inactive. Luke chapter 15 records a parable that Luke is the only gospel that records these parables. A parable that has three parts. It says in chapter 15, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with it. So before Jesus started, he had those who were critical of what he was going to do and say, before even he got started. But Jesus went ahead, and verse 3 says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. If you know anything about sheep and a shepherd, you know that sheep are probably one of those animals that doesn't have it all together. They usually just eat, they keep their head down, and they can get lost really easily except for the shepherd. The shepherd has to keep calling out, and the scripture says they know the voice of the shepherd, so they'll respond under those circumstances. But I've been in Europe, and I've seen large farms where you have sheep, and the only time they move together is when they're with the shepherd. You'll see them move like a cloud. You'll just see all these white things move in that direction. 400 or 500 of them, and they'll move in that direction. But if the shepherd is not around, the sheep is in trouble. I thank you, Father, for being the good shepherd. Amen. The scripture says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So the sheep, they're easily lost. The scripture says here that the shepherd had to go out and find the sheep. The sheep knew that he was lost, but he knew not how to get home. Is it like us? And you say, "Brother Ray, how does that have anything to do with faith?" You know, shepherds are really smelly. But to keep that sheep on track, whenever the shepherd finds a lost sheep, the scripture here didn't say it, but the practice, if you have talked to a shepherd that is not a hireling now, this is not the one who doesn't really care for the sheep, he's just hired out, getting a wage. I'm talking about a shepherd who owns the sheep. He will put his life on the line for the sheep. But when a sheep get lost, the first thing that that shepherd will do when he finds that sheep is to break the leg. He will put that sheep over his shoulder for the next several days until the healing process takes place. And that sheep will never leave the side of that shepherd again. During the time of that healing, that sheep is with the shepherd. And that sheep will never leave the fold again. He stays close to the shepherd. That's how our Father treats us. Even when we go astray, sometimes we have to be disciplined. But it's because He loves us. In our society today, we have a whole lot of permissive children. 8 and 9 year olds running the household. Simply because those parents doesn't understand what this Bible has to say about love. When you love your child, you will correct your child, and if you have to discipline him, you'll do that. I'm not talking here about abuse. Don't misunderstand. But the Lord does not want us to be so permissive. And that is why it has been a blessing to me to study what these prophets had to say. If you have not been studying this, brethren, please, by God's grace, learn what the Lord has to say for us in these times. So, the shepherd has to go out into the wilderness to look for the sheep. And when he hath found it, the scripture says in verse 5, he laid it on his shoulder, rejoicing because he has found the sheep. The scripture tells us that there's great rejoicing in heaven when one who was lost is found. There's a faith element. The shepherd had to have faith to go out and look for that sheep. He easily could have said, "Well, I have 99 more like that one here, what's a big deal?" But that one means a lot to that shepherd, that true shepherd, that good shepherd, and so is our Father to us. The scripture in verse 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." Then we look at the second lost item. Another faith element here. It says, "Either. What woman having 10 pieces of silver, If she lose one, verse 8, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently. The same word that we saw in Hebrews 11, it comes back. She seeks diligently until she finds it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Yes, in the Middle East, back then, quite often these homes were dirt floor, just a mud hut, probably with one window, no electricity. And so we can understand how a coin could get lost. Some loose dirt around in a corner. This coin probably was a portion of her dowry. Maybe she was a widow, and having no child at home, this was her long-term security. And losing one piece, she was not satisfied to say, I have 9 other pieces, that one piece can go. I have a tendency to do that. I often say, you know, it spilt milk. Forget about it. Let's move on. But the scripture says that this woman, by faith, she swept over and over. She lit a candle and she swept that dirt floor until she found that coin. That's faith. Move out in faith. You cannot have faith and do nothing. Faith will make you move. I could easily have just gone to Honduras and say, well, it's not a big deal. I'm here for 23 days. I'll preach my sermons and go home. But when I saw the need that existed there, the Lord moved upon my heart. And by faith, I said, I will do what I can do. You might not be able to save the entire nation. How about 2 people on your block? How about just one person, bringing that person to know Jesus? Do you know what would happen if each one of us just reached one? Look what 12 disciples of Jesus did. Each one reached one. So we cannot, when we have faith, not respond to the Holy Spirit. We have to move. That lady searched until she found that coin that made her dowry completed once more. And when she had found it, she came to her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. That faith action. And it goes on to the third part of this parable, verse 11. It says, and he said, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days hence, after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It was not the type of living that the father had expected. Oftentimes when we are young, we do strange things. Things that our parents are not particularly happy about. But hopefully by God's grace we can learn from those experiences. This young man went out. Verse 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. When you're in want, You have to pray more. I'm going to say that again. When you're in want, any kind of want, you have to pray more. If you want a wife or a husband, you better do some serious praying. If you want a job, you better do some serious praying and get up and get some interviews. If you want food, you better do some serious praying and let the Lord lead you. He might be leading you to get active and plant a garden. But it takes faith, and He will direct you in the way you ought to go. It might simply be that because of your prayers, He sent you downtown to the Harvest Bank. But you better start praying. And this young man prayed, and something said to him, "Go and join yourself to a citizen of that country." And He sent him into his field to feed swines. Now, for a Jewish boy, this is probably one of the worst jobs that you could ever think of. He not only should not touch them, hello, or their carcass, but here he is feeding swines, pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him anything. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, sometimes we have to come to ourselves. Let me say that again. Some of you didn't get that. Sometimes we have to come to ourselves. We have to let the Holy Spirit tell us who we are. We are sons and daughters of the Almighty. And until that happens, we can't get that spiritual muscle working. We have to come to ourselves. When he came to himself, he started to rehearse a little speech. He said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" And this is where the faith muscle started to develop. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." You believe that he did not know that he had a loving father at home? Yes, he did. But faith was now speaking to him, and he was going to move based upon his faith in his father. He knew that if he went home, although he had lost his inheritance, that his father would accept him. Although it seemed impossible, he was going to move because he believed that his father would take him back. He said, "I will arise and I will go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of your hired servants." And the faith muscle grew because he arose, verse 20 says, and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a father. Just like the Good Shepherd, a compassionate and merciful father. You know, I had a father that it's just since I became an adult that I really understood what my father was doing. He had 7 boys, no girls. As a matter of fact, the only reason why I got here is because my mom kept trying for a girl, because I'm the last of the 7. But my dad would do everything that he knew how to take care of his family. My mother never worked a day out of the house. But taking care of 7 boys was enough work. She knew where we were every hour, every minute of the day. And if she did not know where we were, we had a time limit when we should be home. But my father, now I appreciate him more, now that I understand it, just like the father here, had compassion, and he ran, he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father says, Son, shut up. That's enough. You don't have to go on and tell me about the servants and all of that. Because he understood. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his fingers and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to merry. Now, this is where the story takes an unfortunate twist. Because the elder son was in the field. And as he came, verse 25, and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fattened calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And this brother was angry, verse 28. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him again. Our heavenly father, he's not willing that any of us should perish. We are all sinners, and Romans 5:8 tells that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I love a God like that because I'm a sinner man, and I'm happy he died for me. And I make mistakes. Not that I enjoy them, no, that I understand what he requires of me, and I want to be obedient to him every day. But I am happy that he is a merciful and forgiving God. And he answered and said to his father, this is the elder brother, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. This big speech, he did not even understand that all that the father had now was his. Confusion had set in. And he went on to make excuse, but as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattened calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. He tried to entreat him to come in and join the festivities. And this son rejected that offer. How many of us are rejecting that offer? How many of us are exercising that foundation of faith that is given to us? I believe that this son was truly the prodigal. But even greater than that, this story should not be called the prodigal son or the prodigal sons, but it should be called the entreating heavenly father. The work of the Father is what he offers to each of us today. And so, he says to us, Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is saying that to us today, brothers and sisters, friends. We ought to seek the Lord. He wants to be found. He wants us to call upon him. What Jesus has done for me, I cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. It's a love that is beyond all measure. Mercy, grace, faith, all of that comes to us free. Without charge. It's free. He gave his life for me. My testimony this morning says, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him, I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad because he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now. I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. This morning, I'm saying to each and every one of you that you're warriors of faith. Trust completely in God, and he'll make a way for you.